Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Memhei. This is the 45th Perek, and remember we're really now towards the end. Yirmiyahu is only 52 prakim long, so we're very close to the end now. Actually, the last section of Yirmiyahu, from Memhei to Nbeis, actually are really not part of the Nevuas that Yirmiyahu had at the end. Essentially, we've finished the Sefer of Yirmiyahu now, and now we're in the epilogue. The epilogue is sort of a section of conversations that happened throughout the life of Yirmiyahu, or logs that happened throughout the life of Yirmiyahu. So this perek is about a conversation between Baruch and Yirmiyahu. The next few prakim till Nun Aleph are going to be nevuas that Yirmiyahu had towards the nations of the world. And finally, the last one is a log of the destruction or the exile under Yechoniah. So that's really what's left. We've really seen the last of the saga of Yirmiyahu, and now we're going to just go back on over a few ideas. So this is the shortest perek in all of Sefer Yirmiyahu. It's only 5 psukim, and we're told in the first pasuk that it occurs in the 4th year of Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu, Melech Yehuda Lemos. So we're going back a number of years. Remember, this is a very momentous year. The year of the 4th year of Yehoyakim is when Nebuchadnezzar rises to power. This is when Yehoyakim is ignoring Yirmiyahu. And in fact, it is when we're told when Baruch ben Neriah writes down the Nevuah for Yirmiyahu. We know that if you go back to Perek Lamed Vov, the 36th Perek, this is when we have the episode where Yehoyakim receives the Megillas Eicha, and he hears it read by Baruch ben Neriah, and he throws it into the fire, and Yirmiyahu is told to rewrite it. Really a momentous moment where he destroys the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not interested in hearing it. So it is at this point in time, when this is happening, Hashem gives an additional nevuah, which we didn't hear beforehand, to Baruch. Yirmiyahu turns to Baruch, and he recounts what Baruch himself had said. In Pasuk Gimel, Omarta, you said, Baruch, Oinali ki yosaf Hashem yogon amachovi. Baruch is complaining about his terrible pain, his angst. Yogati ba'anachosi, I've toiled, and I've groaned, but I've not been able to find any menucha. I've not been able to find any rest. So Hashem responds to this claim and says, Hashem says, look, I built and I destroyed. I planted, I uprooted. You want big things? Don't ask for big things. You'll be among the spoils of all the places you go. And that's the end of the conversation. What is occurring in this narrative? What is the actual conversation? So the Radak quotes Chazal, famous Chazal, and most of the Farshim quote this Chazal. And what's happening over here is that Baruch is saying the following. He says, look, Yehoshua was a student of Moshe Rabbeinu and he received Nevuah. Elisha was a student of Eliyahu Anavi and he received Ruach HaKodesh. Why, if I'm the student of you, O Yirmiyahu, have I toiled so much? I've worked so hard on myself and I'm not receiving Nevuah. Baruch so desperately wanted to have Nevuah. He wanted Hashem to give him prophecy and it was not happening. And what he's complaining about is the fact that he's not receiving this. Incidentally, the Abarbanel points out a very important historic point here, and that is if you remember a couple of chapters back, the people accused Yirmiyahu of saying that they should stay in the land of Israel. I'm not going down to Egypt. Because they said that, he had a conversation with Baruch ben Neriah, and Baruch wanted them to stay in the land of Israel to receive Nevuah. Says the Abarbanel, well, historically, their claim is inaccurate, because we know that in the 4th year of Yehoyakim, more than a decade and a half before the exile, which is when they asked this question, Baruch was told that he's not getting Nevuah. So just an interesting point historically, which the Tanakh is verifying. What is the response? So Rashi and the Radak point out, quoting the Midrash, very basically, this is a Midrash appears actually in the Mechilta Devei Reb Yishmael, in Sefer Parshas Boy, in Perek Yud Beis. The Midrash tells us, as quoted by Rashi, famous words, Im ein keren, lama siag lama. Im ein son, roe lama. If there is no vineyard, why do you need a fence? If there's no sheep, there's no flock, why should you have a shepherd? Now what HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially says in the rule is, Eini nigle al hanavim ela bischusam shel Yisrael. The prophets are only there for Israel. Kach shneb mechilta, he said, and therefore, if the people are no longer here, they're being destroyed, I've uprooted them, say the Mefarashim, then what point is there in Nevuah? Baruch, it's not for you. It's not for your own edification that you assume this heavy mantle of Nevuah. It's for the people. And they're no longer, they're being destroyed. Essentially, they're not listening to Yirmiyahu. They are not listening to the prophecies of destruction. There's no more schus to prophesize. There's no more defense to say in their name. The Rambam takes it in a slightly different way. In Mora Nevuchim, in the second Chelek, in Perek Lamed Beis, the Rambam explains that one of the principles of Nevuah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides who he gives prophecy to. It's not just to anybody. It's not just at any time. It's not whoever wants it, whenever they want it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that. And as the Rambam famously points out, Nevuah wasn't just given to anybody. It would take a long time to work. A person would have to spend their entire life refining themselves to the point that maybe they had a divine communion. But there could have been a person who spent their entire life as a Ben Navi, as a prophet, a student of the prophets, and never really ever reached that point. And that's what Baruch Ben Neriah is expressing. On a more basic level, the Rav Lau pointing out, or Rav Beni Lau on this perek points out, that it may also be that he is complaining for another reason, and that is that Yirmiyahu has chosen Baruch potentially because Baruch seems to have an office in the government of the king, and Baruch is the one who has access to be able to bring his prophecies to the ears of power. And that's perhaps why Yirmiyahu chose him. What Baruch may be complaining about is the incredible strain it puts upon him. And HaKadosh Baruch is responding in a certain sense that it's not about you, it's about what I'm trying to achieve over here. And therefore you have to resubmit yourself to this process. So it's very different meridians of this conversation. This was a side conversation being brought back here at the end of the Sefer. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.